Father God, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I want to say, Lord God, thank you. Thank you for the life that you've given each one of your elect. I thank you, Father God, that we can gather around collectively together to go through your word, listen to your word, contemplate on your word, study your word. And Father, these Wednesday night Bible studies, I'm just asking God for the anointing of your precious Holy Spirit to be upon me, upon those who hear the Bible study. And Father, bless those with an ever-increasing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word as we go through these Wednesday night Bible studies. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity and this privilege. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as we go through these studies in 1 Samuel, we have just found from last week where the high priest Eli was the high priest in Shiloh. That's where God had chosen to place his wilderness temple there. We find the God's word, the prophet's word coming true with the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas had died. And the Lord had sent a prophet saying, hey, they're not going to be an old man in your family line because they're all going to die young. Because you did not correct your sons. And therefore, I'm going to kill your sons. So we see this starting to happen. In battle, his two sons are killed same day. And then we find that there's a runner that comes back to tell Eli. He's sitting out by the gate waiting to hear. And he had let them take the Ark of the Covenant out of the temple, which was just totally absurd that he would allow that. It's not allowed to do. Anyway, there's a runner comes back to tell Eli, and he says that the battle has gone very bad. Very bad. They've chased us out. The Philistines have overran us, and we have lost. And there's been a great loss of men, the soldiers. So when Eli hears this, the Bible says he was a huge man. And I don't know what kind of a image you had placed in your mindset when we were going through that, talking about Eli, but he was a huge, huge man, and he was very old. It says that he was 98 years old, and when he heard this, he fell backwards and broke his neck against the wall, and he died there. And now Phinehas has a wife, she's pregnant, and when she hears the news that her husband is dead, her father-in-law is dead, she goes into labor. And during labor, she has a son. And just before she dies, she names this son Ichabod, meaning that the glory of God has left Israel, and she dies. So there stopped the lineage of any kin of Eli from becoming priest. Now, what I like to do, because, you know, you think, well, here this guy is, he is the high priest. Well, how come the Lord didn't kill him for sin at the Day of Atonement? Because there are strict regulations concerning the Day of Atonement, which had to happen once a year to atone for the people of the land, to atone for the priests working within the tabernacle of the meeting, to atone for the high priest. So I'm going to read to you those specific requirements. And you may ask yourself, well, how come, you know, how could Eli operate and not do and know his sons were sinning like that? Well, I think you will find a reason when you read what the instructions for the altar area was. So I'm going to go by the wayside here just a little bit to give you that background, okay? Because these lessons are intended to ground you in the Word of God as we go through these. And you need to know a lot of the background historical ends of what's happening during this time frame. Now, as we look at this, we will get back on track, okay? But as we left last week, that's what had happened. The battle had been fought. The two sons had been killed. And the Ark of the Covenant that was supposed to stay within the most holy of holies, within the tabernacle of the meeting. Well, they took that and went to battle with it, thinking that's going to give them a good luck charm. Well, guess what? The Ark of the Covenant has been taken by the enemy, the Philistines. So what I'd like to do right now is let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back into the time when Moses had been given the law and the Lord had talked to Moses to give him instructions about Aaron on what he's supposed to do. I'm going to be in Leviticus chapter 16, starting with verse 1, and I'm going to read the entire chapter. And here we go. And I'm reading from the New King James Version Bible. This is instructions for the altar on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." Verse 3, "Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering, and 1 ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself for his house. And he shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hand full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony. lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sin. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of the meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of the meeting when he goes in to make atonement for the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull, some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of the meeting and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all the transgressions concerning all their sin, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come in to the tabernacle of the meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he had put on when he went into the holy place. He shall leave them there, and he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out, and offer burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering shall he burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in the water, and after he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement for the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. They shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the 7th month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. Do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is the Sabbath of the solemn rest for you. You shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest, who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement and put on linen clothes and holy garments, and then shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary.
He shall make atonement for the tabernacle of the meeting, for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. You see the stipulations there? On the great day of atonement, all the sins of all the people of all of Israel are atoned for. All the sins of the priests who are doing the operations within the temple are atoned for. They must go, the high priest, before holy God in the Holy of Holies, sprinkling the Ark of the Covenant with the blood, as we read. So therefore, if a man had not atoned for his sins, or the priest, God would have killed him when he walked through to the Holy of Holies. So you understand, though Eli may have sinned, he didn't correct his sons, once a year, there is a great day of atonement. So how does that relate to us in today's time as we're doing these studies? Well, in the old system was just a temporary thing. What are you talking about? Well, the old system of sacrifice, that was only temporary. In Hebrews 8:13, it tells us, he says, in that day, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. That old sacrificial system. So what's it going to be replaced by? Well, let's look at Hebrews 7:21 for a minute. Hebrews 7:21 says, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22, and by such more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. And we find under the old system that Aaron was the first high priest. That was Exodus 40:13. And he was from the tribe of Levi. We can find that in Hebrews 7:15-16. So Aaron was the first priest, the first high priest, but Jesus is only high priest. Look at Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of the grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace of help in time of need. Aaron, being from the tribe of Levi, ministered on the earth, while Jesus, from the tribe of Judah, as in Hebrews 7:14, says, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. Like I said, Aaron ministered on the earth, but look where Jesus ministers from. Hebrews 8:1-2. Now this is the main point of the thing that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. We know that Aaron used the blood of the animals to atone for the sin. We found that in Leviticus. Leviticus 16:15 says, "Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat." Look at Hebrews 9:28. It said, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." Verse 10 of chapter 10 says, "But that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Under the old covenant system required many sacrifices. Leviticus 22:19 tells us that you shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. But Jesus Christ was offered only once. Chapter 9:23. "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Verse 25, "Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of this world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for man once to die, but after that to judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." We find under the old Levitical system that these animal sacrifices had to be without spot or blemish. But this Jesus, the new covenant, Hebrews 10:11. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 13, "And from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he has said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is the flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we know under the Levitical system that required careful approach to the tabernacle, that high priest had to make sure every dot, every T was crossed. Could not be any mistake anywhere, or he would wind up dead. But you and I, we are encouraged and confident to approach the throne of God with confidence and boldly. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us, the atoning of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary. But under the old system, Hebrews 10:1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect." But over in Hebrews 10, starting with verse 9, it says, "Then he says, Lo, I come to do thy will." That's Jesus. "O God, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second covenant, under the Lord Jesus Christ. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. 11, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away the sins. But this man," that's Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." And we know, according to Hebrews 9:22, he says, "And almost all things are by law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission." In other words, no pardon, no deliverance, no forgiveness, no cleansing. But Jesus Christ's blood did that. Cleansed us from all sin. And in verse 12 of chapter 9 says, let's back up to verse 11. He said, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood," that's Jesus, "he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purification of the flesh," verse 14, "then how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he," that's Jesus, "is a mediator of the New Testament, by that means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And he goes on to say in verse 16, "For where a testament is, there must be also the necessity of the death of the testator. For a testament is of force only after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves, of goats, with water, a scarlet wool, hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. So it was necessary, verse 23, therefore, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet he should offer himself as often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So, child of God, we see where the sacrificial system, old covenant, worked for a temporary time frame. It was a temporary system, old system of sacrifices for the atone of the sins of Israel, to atone for man. But there's a new system now, a new covenant, and it's a permanent system where no longer do sacrifices have to be offered every day, every year, but it was once and for all. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he came to do away with the old system. And his blood was shed. He was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus Christ. He was sinless. He lived a sinless life while upon this earth. He was willing. He was a willing sacrifice. He is our high priest. So you see, child of God, the reason of the old system, and now you know and understand the new system, the new covenant that we are under. But I said all of that to say this, that I just wanted you to have an understanding of the old covenant system and what we're studying right now today, and how Eli was operating under the old system, and why it is maybe that Eli wasn't killed right there in the temple, because he was continually, yearly, offering sacrifices not only for the people, but also for himself before he would go into the Holy of Holies. And you saw where the garments and the washing and the cleansing, all of that. So as we continue on, we will pick up next week into chapter 5 of 1 Samuel and give you what is going to happen with this Ark of the Covenant. What's happening with this? And how it gets returned, and where does it return to, and how does it get back? And who becomes high priest now? It's not Samuel. He's not in the bloodline of Aaron. So we will look at all of this. But until then, may God bless you and yours real good as we go into this new year and we study these lessons. I pray that you will be encouraged by them. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, as we enter into a new year, Lord, I'm asking God that those who listen to these lessons that we have every Wednesday evening, Lord, these lessons that will ground your people in your word if they will listen and do the lessons as we study and go through the Bible, the Old Testament. Father, I think so many times today that so many do not know what the Old Testament says. Yeah, Father God, they reveal the mysteries of who you are. And Lord, they're there for lessons that we may learn from. Your word tells us that. So Father, I'm asking God, as we go through these Wednesday evening Bible studies, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you in every moment, every aspect of my life. Help me to be a teacher, anointed by you, Holy Spirit, that others may hear and understand and learn about you, about your word, about the Father, about how we can better serve you by understanding what your word says. And that we may understand, Lord Jesus, and glean from these Bible studies your word. And not only, Lord God, that, but we're hiding your word in our heart through these Wednesday night Bible studies. And Father, as we go through these books, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and on, Lord, according to your prodding and your will for my life, I will continue teaching these until you take me home. So Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray your will be done upon all of those who hear these Wednesday night teachings. Father, they may grow and they may understand their authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ground them, Father, in this word, I pray. And Lord, I thank you. I pray for your leadership, your direction for this upcoming year, not only for me, for Challenge Ministries, and for all of those who hear your word being taught. Bless your people who are called by your name, Father God. And Lord, those who are your elect, bring them into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit across the world that would bring about a Holy Ghost revival, that your elect would be called unto salvation. Father, bless your people, bless your name, bless your word. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The following are some words from Pastor Bob. These are not my original texts. We know that there is going to be an end time. There's going to be strife, division, turmoil, confusion, conflict. And we know that's happening today. And we sometimes ask ourselves the question, what's it all about? Well, we know what it's all about. We know that before the end times come, we know from the Word of God that the gospel has to be spread to all nations before He returns. And we are far from that for the moment. And number two, we know that there will have to become a one world order. And we see progressive steps for that today, don't we? They're taking place even right now, today, in our current day. We see those steps being progressed toward one world government system. With all of the AI coming in and people relying on AI instead of their own minds, pretty soon no one will be able to think for themselves, think logically or anything else. That's why it's so important that we ground ourselves in the Word of God and know what the Word of God says. We read about articles that the nations are coming together as a group against the United States of America because they want this new world superpower. But you know that the minute that you get a new world superpower, guess what? Somebody else is there
wanting to be the new world superpower. Then there will be another power who would try to take over the one that's in its place. And then the one that's in its place, there will be another superpower wanting to become the superpower. And that's just the way it is. Let's look at Isaiah 54, verse 13 through 17. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So, God is not saying that these weapons won't be formed against you. But he's telling us they will, and they will come against you, but they shall not prosper against you. And we can carry this principle right over into your own life, where the weapon that is formed against you individually. Satan is going to form weapons of whatever kind he can, and from whatever sources he can use against you. You have to understand that, and child of God. And the same thing is true of the church. We hear that God was speaking to his people there, to Israel. And this uprisings that we see all over the world today, not only against Israel, but country after country in wars. And we can know that God, for certain, tells us that no weapons formed against them will prosper. This is Israel. Yes, the weapons will be formed, the weapons will be utilized, but the weapons will not prosper. But then we come to this in Psalms 122, verse 6, where God tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. In other words, when you pray for Jerusalem, nation of Israel, you're going to prosper. Because God says those that love him will prosper. God said to Abraham, I will bless these who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. We would do well as a nation to understand what this really means. So we as a nation and individual better be praying that this nation will never be one that curses Israel. But right here in our own borders of our own nation, we have become fragmentation of many nations. And these are so much strife and division going on in our nations because of it, in our own nations here. Those for Israel and those against her. We have all of these. Those that are for Israel, those that are against her. We have anti-Semitism. It's all here right in our face. The church. We, child of God, we are the intercessors. We are the ambassadors for Christ. We stand on the Word of God, and we agree with the Word of God. And those who oppose Israel would do well to take into consideration what God said to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Would you join me in prayer as we begin to close? Father, Lord God, Holy Spirit, anoint me to pray. Father, you honor your word, and you have told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for Israel. So, Father, we ask for the peace of Jerusalem. We know, Father, that you are in charge of all the nations, and your word says that the hearts of the kings are like the rivers of the waters in the hand of the Lord. He turns it every which way that he will. Lord, we're asking you for strong national leadership who will not compromise. And we're asking, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel, and that thy will be done concerning the conflicts that are happening in Jerusalem, Israel, and the nations around the world. So, Father, we just ask, God, that if you would, render ineffective all the tactics employed by the enemy against your kingdom, Father God, and against the nation of Israel, and against the nation of the United States. We pray, God, that you would override and overrule all governmental edicts that may be advancing Satan's agenda. We pray, God, that you would put into place those individuals that you can use to frustrate the satanic agenda. We pray, God, to neutralize the power and influence of those that are in positions of power and influence who are themselves agents of Satan. And I ask, Father God, to stir the hearts of the remnant of you, Father God, to repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer. And Father, we're ever so thankful to give you thanks and praise and honor and glory, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, to take this message now, this Bible study, and these prayers, Father God, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for this time, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.